Father, thank you for lifting us from the miry clay. We were deep in sin. We were in trouble. Long, long was the night, but you brought us to the day when we cover us with your banner that is love and mercy and grace. Thank you that we can sing hallelujah, hosanna to the Son of the living God, the Savior, the Mighty One. Thank you for gathering us again together and speak to us, speak to all of us. And above and beyond the voice of the speaker, let your voice be heard to any, everyone, and everyone. Speak to us, we pray, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. We have been looking at the fruit of the Spirit in our studies, and we want to continue where we left off. Last week, we said that love is the foundation attribute of the fruit of the Spirit. Remember that it is one fruit, but nine attributes are named in the Scripture. Love, joy, peace, and so on. So, love is the foundation attribute, even as we read in 1 John 4:8 that God is love. God is love. That's the foundation. We liken love as the stem out of which all of the remaining eight attributes flow. And we propose that we think of each of the other graces as offshoots of love. So that we might think of joy, the second, as love exulting, rejoicing, peace as love reposing or reclining, patience as love enduring, kindness, love caring, goodness, love blessing, faithfulness, love persevering, gentleness, love submitting, self-control, love restraining. Now, they are my versions of it. You make yours as you ponder it. These graces may be broken down into three groups of three: love, joy, peace. They appear to be descriptive of the state of the person who is walking in the Spirit. Remember, the exhortation is in verse 16, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the deeds of the flesh. So love, joy, and peace would seem to depict the Christian's state. The second group of three, patience, kindness, goodness, depict the Christian's attitude toward others. The love, joy, peace, our state before God, relating to God. And then we have patience, kindness, goodness, our disposition toward others. And the third triad, group of three, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And these speak of the settled character of the believer. You can depend on him or her, the person who is walking in the Spirit, to be faithful, gentle, and to be self-controlled. I'm fascinated by the fact that that last one that is mentioned, self-control, it begins with love, the foundation, and then you have self-control, the last one, which speaks of a total victory, because when you have self-control, you've conquered it all. One other observation we might point out is that each of the first three graces is elsewhere spoken of in Scripture as being altogether surpassing, transcending the apprehension of humans. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19 speaks of love surpassing all knowledge. 1 Peter 1:8 speaks of the Christian's joy as being beyond expression. It is inexpressible. Joy unspeakable, says the King James Version. Philippians 4:7 speaks of peace as surpassing all comprehension. So you have surpassing all knowledge, surpassing all ability to express, surpassing all comprehension, all understanding, says the King James Version. So these attributes of God, if you please, are meant to be lived out in God's people on earth. And so he's provided the equipment by which that can be done. That is, he has caused everyone who has been born from above to be possessed of his spirit. Peter speaks of it as partakers of the Christians as being partakers of the divine nature. Now, we have Adam's nature. We were born with that, and it causes us a lot of problems. Job says, man born of woman, man is born under trouble as the sparks fly upward. But God is calling out a people from the earth, from the world, and he is equipping them to represent him in that world so that others in the world might know that there is a God who delivers from a world that is perishing, a world that is dying, a world that is full of corruption. I ran into the cleaning man here one day last week, and he had lots of questions for me about, where's the hope? He said he was going to be visiting with his brother in Tennessee, where who has a 55-acre piece of ground, and that is going to, he's going to try to make that a kind of oasis for a better life. If he can just isolate himself from some of the evils that are in the world, the environmental toxins, and some of the other things that intrude into our lives, so that we can have a life that we are comfortable with, that we are pleased with. But I said to him, what insulation do you have from the toxins that are in the water that will flow over your land? Ah, he says, I don't know. Some things you can't control. You do the best you can. And then he says, in this world, there's so many things that are happening that really distress you, all the crime and so forth. And where is the deliverance from that? The deliverance from that is not in this world. And he said that there is a corruption in politics, so that you send a representative to Washington to represent you, and he sells out to some special interest. What protection do you have against that? There is no protection in this world. That's why God is saving his people out of the world. God isn't trying to fix the world. You can't fix it. Oh, God could if he chose to, but he's already declared a disposition toward it. It's reserved for fire. But he has the people that he has saved out of the world, and he has equipped them to overcome, to have victory. And so we're talking about the Spirit who possesses those people whom he has delivered out of the world. He is there to produce his fruit in all those who put their trust in him. And so we want to encourage ourselves and each other in enjoying the blessedness of the new life in God, in Christ. Now, last week, we spent our time talking about the attribute of love, the foundation. And this week, we would proceed, ordinarily, with the second, joy. Love, joy, peace. We're going to skip joy for today, because we are going to, we're looking forward to some sharing on the subject of joy from our brother Norm Simpson, who has spoken a couple of months ago about a desire to share something on that. So we're looking forward to that. In deference to his sharing, not next week, but the week after, at his choice, we are going to skip joy for now, and we'll go on to peace today. Love, joy, love exalting, peace, joy reclining. Peace is an inner repose, a quietness, even in the face of adversity. That's really peace. I may have told this the account of a contest. I may have said it before here. An account of a contest, but in which they were being awarded for the person who could depict peace most impressively, most convincingly. And of course, if you're going to draw a picture of peace, what's more peaceful than a beautiful sunset over the horizon? We may have Jake here today, and we would happily hear from him, but as I look at him and talk about peace, I remember flying one day. I was not in the cockpit as he would be. I was in the back, and I was flying from west to east. And It was at just the time of the day when the sun was setting. And I got to see the sun as the plane angled. I got to see the sun disappearing in the west, and I could see the darkness between. It was a very special experience. I wish I could have captured it. Anyway, sunset is typically what we look at and think of as just the picture of peace, or maybe a beautiful tree with silent wind, as it were. The leaves are not flowing, they're not moving with a breeze, they're just standing, just hanging over a pond or lake. And there's a swan. So calm, resting on the water. So there were those who represented peace with pictures like this. But there was one who represented peace as an ocean that was absolutely furious. The waves were turbulent, foaming. The wind was formidable. And as you saw that picture, in that picture, the waves and their very busy, turbulent activity. There in the midst, resting on one of those waves, was a bird, totally complacent. The wind is blowing, the seas are turbulent. The bird rests there in perfect complacency. Peace. We often like to think of peace as just having everything in order, having everything the way I like it. Nothing to threaten, whether it's by circumstances or conditions around me. You know, that's peace. Well, this bird was able to find peace sitting in the midst of turbulence. And that's what the Lord Jesus said. He said, "My peace I give to you. Peace I give unto you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives." So, peace. He's not having everything the way I like it. It is being able to sit in the midst of everything that may seem threatening and be completely at peace. We have a word, and let me ask you to turn to this. You'll want to remember it. Take it to heart. Philippians chapter 4. And I'm going to read verses 6 and 7. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. The King James says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians 4, verses 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing. Be anxious about nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. You know, we sing that hymn, and I think it captures the idea here. Oh, would peace we often forfeit. How does it go? That's 391 Joyce Hymns.
Well, because we want to take it to the Lord in prayer.
Yeah, I want the line that follows. all right. But the idea is that peace, the foundation for peace is trust. Trust. You need to be able to trust what is protecting you, whatever it is that you are trusting. You need to be able to trust it to do the job so that you can feel perfectly safe. That brings you peace. I don't have to worry. I am protected. I am being protected. And so, it tells us here, this is God's word, says, if you really believe, pray. You know, let your request be known to God. You trust Him, do you? If you trust Him, then take your troubles to Him. And He says, when you do, His peace will garrison your heart. Now, the Lord Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Troubled heart is a terrible thing to endure. And that is the case with people everywhere in our society. They're troubled. They're worried about this thing. They're worried about the economy, or they're worried. Somebody who can't think about the economy, he's just thinking about: am I going to be able to pay my bill? My mortgage? Am I going to be able to get the income to do this? We're troubled about all kinds of things. There are those who are troubled, like the man I spoke about earlier, who's troubled about the corruption in government. He's troubled about the corruption of our environment. And we have reason to be troubled, except if you have someone you can trust to protect you from the things that you're troubled about. Well, we're told that those who trust in God enough to put their confidence in Him, commending to Him, themselves to Him, taking their requests to Him in prayer, supplication, accompanied with thanksgiving, because there is trust there. What does it say the result will be? Your heart will be garrisoned. You won't be troubled. Sometimes people think that they're safe, and then they discover that I'm not as safe as I thought I was. But with God, you can be sure you're going to be safe. Don't be boastful. Don't be arrogant. Don't think that, well, I've got it all under control. You never have have it all under control. But if you take your matters to God, He will garrison your heart. Now, get that picture. Garrison. Doesn't that remind you of a military contingent? We have a garrison of soldiers who protect a certain territory. And God has said, when you take your affairs to Him, trusting Him, not only will you be safe, but you will feel safe because He is going to place a garrison of soldiers. His peace is going to be as a garrison of soldiers around your heart, protecting it. So you won't be troubled. In Isaiah chapter 26, and make a note of it if you don't turn to it. Isaiah 26, verse 3 says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." Because he trusteth in thee. Remember, that is basic to it all. That's the foundation. You can have peace unless you can trust whoever, whatever you depend upon to guard your peace, to protect your peace. So, God will keep him in perfect peace. It's wonderful. It doesn't matter what's going on around you. If your heart is settled in peace, when you can trust, it doesn't matter what happens. You know, whether I live, whether I die, doesn't make any difference. Because I have committed to one whom I can trust all that matters to me. I am going to tax your memory of scripture that you know. When Israel was coming out of Egypt, they felt at first wonderful deliverance out of Pharaoh's clutches. And they're on their way. And at some point they realize that the people from whom they had just escaped are bearing down on them. Well, they don't want to go back where they came from. So they want to move away as quickly as they could. But in front of them was an impossible barrier. There was a whole sea. So it was between the Egyptians and the Red Sea. What is that? Certain death. Certain destruction. And so they yelled at Moses, "Why did you bring us out here? Because there weren't enough graves in Egypt? Because they were resigned to destruction there." And that's when Moses said to them, "Peace. Stand still. There is deliverance. God is going to deliver you." Now that's when you have to trust. You've got a vicious enemy at your back. You have an ocean at your front, and you are just there Well, that's where God wants to put us very often. So that we might have an exercise in trusting Him. You know, we don't have that often enough for us to even think of any need to trust Him. We get used to doing things on our own. And so I have it under control. I can make myself safe. I have plenty of adequate income. I can manage my affairs. I can pay my rent or my mortgage. I can do what I need to do. And we feel perfectly safe in what we can do. You're not safe in what you can do. Things change in a moment. Sometimes it's riches that we have that we're holding on to. And the scripture says, don't put your trust in riches. He says, because they have a way of taking wings like an eagle and flying away and leaving you there. And now what do you have to trust in? What you were trusting in has flown. It's gone. All these things can happen any time to any of us. But that's not a reason to worry. That's a reason to trust God. That's a reason to let your requests be made known to God. And Isaiah 26 says, He keeps such persons in peace. Why? Because they trust Him. It is your trust in God that is going to give you peace. If you trust yourself, you cannot be assured of it. In Psalm 119, verse 165, says, Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them, or stumble them, or perturb them, or distress them, because they have peace. How do they get peace? They dug into God's law, God's word. Saints, you want to enjoy peace, you've got to spend time with God. You've got to get to know Him. Get to know Him better all the time. You never get to know Him completely. All through eternity, we will be discovering His glory. But if we practice here and now to get to know Him through the word that He has given, in which He has revealed Himself, we will grow confident. Because the more we know about Him, the more we will want to trust Him. We'll be able to trust Him. So great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall disturb them. So that in the end, after I've considered all of the perils, there could be earthquakes, there could be windstorms, there could be burglaries, there could be planes falling out of the sky and hitting my house. It's happened. All kinds of things abound that threaten us. But when I am trusting God, like the bird who sits on the turbulent wave, I can look at all the perils and not be afraid. not be afraid. So Psalm 4:8, it says. Psalm 4:8. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me to dwell in safety. Yeah, I've considered the perils, but it is time for me to lie down to sleep. I'm not going to stay up and worry about the perils. I will lay me down. Not only just lay me down, I will actually sleep. Why? Because I am trusting the one who is keeping me. Let's pray. Our God and Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have life and everything that pertains to it. We pray that you will help us to put our trust in you and enjoy peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.